Please open your Bibles to follow the reading, which is from Psalms 116, beginning at verse 6. The Lord protects the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I kept my faith, even when I said, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my consternation, everyone is a liar.
This short reading occurs in the middle of Psalm 116. Now, psalms are written not to be dissected, but to be sung. They're meant to be used as an act of worship. And there's a lot to be said for reading a psalm every day, to worship and to kind of put yourself through the paces of what the psalm is doing in terms of its understanding of God and positioning of us in relation to God. My own personal Bible reading pattern is to read 5 different chapters a day of the Bible, and from 5 different books of the Bible, so I don't get bored. And there are 1,189 chapters in the Bible, so it would take somewhere over 200 days to read the whole Bible that way. And there's 150 psalms, it's a chapter each, so most of my time reading those 5 chapters a day, I'm reading a psalm. And it's a really wonderful discipline to train myself to be a worshiper, not just reading it, but actually worshiping through the psalm. And it's an interesting question to ask is what inspires a person to write a song of worship? Sometimes people do it after a crisis or when they've been through a particular event that's had a big impact on their life and they have something to say to God. And this particular psalm appears to be a psalm like that. In fact, the NRSV, the version we have in the pews, I think it says, has a heading which has been added by the translators, Thanksgiving for Recovery from Illness. And I think it's a guess based on the text, because the opening passage refers to the snares of death encompass me, the pangs of Sheol, which is the place of the dead, lay hold of me. And so it seems this person is giving thanks for having been rescued from a near-death experience of some kind. So in this beautiful psalm, this person is giving thanks for recovering perhaps from serious illness or an accident or some other calamity that took them right to the edge of dying. And the first 6 verses, which Dave spoke about last week, tell us in a simple but quite a moving way that the psalmist loves the Lord because he called for help and the Lord answered him. And the final section, which Dave Ray will preach on again next week, tells of the psalmist's intention and fervent desire to express his thanksgiving through worshiping in the temple, in God's house. And this middle passage that we have before us today, verses 7 to 11, it's really about, it's a reflection on what it is to have been rescued and what it means to be in recovery, the process of getting back on track. So I'm actually preaching today to people who are in recovery of one kind or another. You've been through a crisis, maybe an emotional crisis or a physical health crisis, a spiritual crisis, and you're in recovery. So I'm speaking to you today. You're in the spotlight, the Lord's spotlight. And if that's not you, if you're just zipping along on the mountaintops and have been for a long time, praise the Lord. I'm happy for you, but that's good. But today we're looking at the process of recovery, the reflections of this worshiper. So we're encountering this person, this soul, who has been right on the very edge and is taking stock of what it means to have come back from that place. This person is catching its breath and she is finding her way through. The human soul, which is referred to in the psalm, is really our complex of emotions, our memories, our thoughts, our minds, all of that. The soul is what bears the imprint of our personality, our relationships, our doubts and our fears. And so here we encounter this saved soul who's recovering from trauma or of some kind, leading almost to death. Now, it's one thing to be saved from destruction or from torment, but it's another thing to be fully and deeply recovered. And those two processes can be different. So you can be saved very quickly, but the process of recovery can take a longer time as you discover the effects of what you've been through. And so these verses 7 to 11 are really reflections on different aspects of what it is to recover after you've been rescued. And I've called 3 of these aspects rest, faith, and truth. So I'd like to speak about some of these things that apply as part of the process of recovering from this great trauma. And how does this, the psalmist, the guy who, or the woman who wrote this song, how do they use these resources? How do they respond? And what I'm going to do in taking you through these verses is to speak to you as if you were the psalmist, as if it was your song, and if it's about your experience. So I'm going to kind of put you on the spot. This is for you, to make it personal. And if it is, if it fits, if the shoe fits, wear it, is my advice. So we'll start at verse 7. In this verse, as if you're just catching your breath, you tell your soul to return to its rest. It's actually a timely and a very valid response after you've been through an intense battle just to stay alive. Now it's time to rest. It's time to recover. This rest is a thankful rest. It's a deep rest. It's refreshed by the knowledge, the psalmist says, or you have said, it's your song, that the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. And the question is, what does dealing bountifully mean? It sounds like the sort of thing you're translating something that can't really be expressed in English. If your five-year-old child came to you and said, the Lord has dealt bountifully with me today, you might think, what's wrong with you, my son? What does this mean? Well, the Hebrew verb gamal means, which is translated as deal bountifully with, it means to do good for someone, to reward them or to cherish them is probably the best word. So this is also used, interestingly, for fruit ripening and also for weaning a child, which is, I think, a good thing. And so the word is used to describe really coming into goodness, being brought into goodness. So the Lord has cherished you, and it's time for rest to recover, to be renewed, because the Lord has cherished you. And it's time to bask in the goodness of the Lord. God is good indeed, so you are basking, and it's good to bask in the goodness of the Lord. This is your time to recover from what you've been through. In verse 8, you switch things around. In verse 7, the you was your own soul. You said to your soul, be at rest, return to your rest. You were telling your soul to rest. But in verse 8, you turn around and you speak to the Lord. You have delivered my soul from death. The Lord has delivered you from death, from tears, and from stumbling. It's a very tender way of describing how God has intervened. Weakness and sorrow were upon you, but they have been set aside. The yawning darkness as you were looking into the abyss of death is but a memory now. You remember what has happened, but there's no more terror for you because you've passed that point. How wonderful that is. You can give thanks from a place of rest. But there's more beyond the rest. There's more to recovery than just rest. There's more than freedom from tears and from falling and from death. In verse 9, you realize you now want to walk before the Lord in the land of the living. You are on the move. Your life, for a moment, seemed as though it was all behind you and there was nothing left, but now you realize it lies ahead of you. You find you can keep walking now. There's places you want to be at. There's places you want to get to. And the reason for this, the reason you can walk, is that even when you are overshadowed by death, you kept faith in God, in verse 10. Even as you cried out to the Lord, your faith was expressed just by crying out. Even when you knew and honestly confessed how dire your situation was, when you said, I am greatly afflicted, even when you were honestly declaring how desperate your situation was, even when, as it says in the Hebrew, afflicted means to be brought low, to be weakened, to be humbled, to be at the very end of yourself, even then you still kept believing at least just enough to cry out to the Lord for help. You know, when we're in a dark time and a hard place, sometimes that's what faith looks like. It's just being able to cry out to God. It's saying, Lord, I have nowhere else to go but you. And that is the faith that's brought you to the present point. You are no longer stumbling now, but you're walking steadily with the Lord. You're taking up your life again, and it feels good. And as you walk, you do remember something of the pain of what has happened. And you cried out at that time, everyone is a liar. The Hebrew says, is translated, in consternation, you cried out, everyone is a liar. What is consternation? Well, the Hebrew term actually means a hurried panic. You're like, you were really panicking. You were desperate. You can use it for hurrying, you can use it for fear, and you were just kind of, you were losing it. And you cried out at that time, everyone is a liar, but what did that mean? Why did you say that? Why did you say that everyone was a liar? What did it mean? Does this mean other people? Do you mean that about God? Were you saying, God, where are you? You've promised to look after me and you're not here. Is that part of everyone? Or maybe your own soul? Were you worried about what you were hearing yourself say? Were you overcome by deceptive and despairing thoughts yourself? Were lies rising up in your mind? Or perhaps it was just only the other people who were giving you false comfort. They were denying about how serious your situation was. They didn't want to confront it, so they were just telling you everything would be fine, but you knew how serious and how difficult your situation was. Or perhaps there were people that betrayed you, that deliberately exploited you and manipulated you in your vulnerability and your weakness, and they added emotional pain to the physical pain and illness that you were suffering. As if almost dying wasn't hard enough already, there were these other people as well. But either way, whatever the reason was that you cried out, everyone is a liar, truth at that time seemed to be overturned, but through it all, you didn't let go of what you knew was true. You believed in God's power to rescue. You kept crying out to him. You overcame the lies and the scripts of despair, but you grasped hold of the truth. You kept on believing. And I could say to you, well done, well done. And now you can walk straight ahead. The dark times are behind you, and there's a life ahead of you to live with God. Well, these few verses in the middle of this psalm are about the journey of recovery, of someone who is full of praise. It's something precious, something to take very carefully and thoughtfully, this journey of recovery. Sometimes a time of recovery can be perilous for the soul because you put so much energy into coping with the crisis that when it's actually passed and there's more work to be done to recover, you kind of let your guard fall down and you're not aware of how much needs to go into that recovery process. Even when the difficulties are past, you've been rescued, but there's a journey ahead still. Recovery requires focus. Healing takes energy and care. It needs more faith, but in a different way. Not the seat of your pants, the hanging on to your fingernails kind of faith when everything looks bleak and despairing. It requires a kind of faith that helps you stay true during recovery, that helps you keep moving forward and not slipping back to the despair of the past, which enables you to take step by life-giving step into God's purposes for you. Well, in these few very rich verses, the psalmist is reflecting on the healing, the recovery, the renewal process. He's taking deliberate care to rest. He's telling his soul, which has been in such anxious, panicking turmoil, to return to its rest. And then to walk carefully along in God's good plan, his good ways, catching his breath to register the enormity of what has happened. He has kept the faith. God is good. You know, I believe one of the most precious verses in the whole Bible is when Jesus is addressing his disciples in Matthew 11, and he says to them, "Come unto me, all you labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." One of the most beautiful words that ever came out of the lips of Jesus was the word rest, that he has rest for us. Jesus knew the rescued soul's need beyond salvation is for rest, for refreshment. That craving for rest and recovery that rises up in us as we pull out of the time of darkness. Hebrews 4:2 says, "We who have believed enter that rest." That is our calling, to enter the rest that God has for us. The rest of the rescued souls is sweet indeed. I've been through a bit of trauma myself recently, saying farewell to a mum and seeing her in hospital in agony over 9 weeks. And this, I preach this to myself. I need rest and recovery too, to be refreshed. And what I'd like to say to you, and I know many people need recovery in different ways from all sorts of things, is that it is a gift that Jesus has for us. He's prepared a rest for us. That's part of the package. It's not just getting out of that hard situation. It's the walking, it's the growing, it's the recovery that he has for you. And it takes time. It takes intention, thankfulness, discernment. And I'd really love to bless you and encourage you in the refreshment and renewal that God has for you today. And in a moment we'll be worshiping, and I just invite the band to come up and get ready. But as we do worship, if you'd like to just confirm the renewal, the refreshment of your soul, Michelle and I will be out the front. We'd love to pray for you. We have a little thing of oil. If you'd like to, we'd anoint you. And just pray a very simple prayer for refreshment, for rest, for renewal. And if any of the band members want to come and be prayed for, I'm sure the others will cope without you if you need that as well. Please don't feel you have to just be busy all the time. We will manage. Rest is a gift of Jesus. It's a precious gift of the Father to the saints. It's written about in the scriptures. God showed us what it was because he took a rest on the seventh day, because he wanted us to understand that hardwired into his understanding for who it is to be human, made in the image of God, is a gift of rest, of refreshment, of renewal for us. And if you feel, I've been saved, that's all I need, I want to say, no, there's more. God has more for you. He has recovery, he has consolidation, he has strengthening, he has refreshment, he has walking, he has places for you to get to. And we'd love to just bless you today in the rest, in the refreshment that God has for you today.